Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll try. I always forget to give you time for that. Welcome to St. John's on this snowy and cold wintry day. Glad to have you here. Please join responsibly in the call to worship. O Lord, how manifold are your works.
In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there.
Living things, both small and great.
There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it.
These all look to you to give them their food in due season.
When you give to them, they gather it up.
When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed.
When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
God called the dome sky, And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Here ends the reading.
Would the children come forward, please? Would you sit up here for me? Can you sit up here for me, Alex? Thank you. Can you sit up here for me, Hyatt? Great. Oh, good. Too many for my seat. Good idea. Good idea. Oh, very good. Very good. We scooted so we could share. All right, good. Okay. Dr. Owen just read a story from the Bible, one of the stories about how God created the whole world. And one of the keys, what color is this?
Blue.
One of the keys was the water. There was water everywhere, except there wasn't water just down. There was water up. There was water everywhere. Sound a little weird? Okay, then God caused a wind to go across the water, or God blew across the water. And God put, we'll do it this way, we'll draw it. God put a dome to separate the waters above from the waters below. And then God gathered the dry land into one space. And eventually, God made the sun and the moon and the stars. What color is this?
Red.
Okay. When God made the sun and the moon and the stars, God put them in the dome. So there's the sun, and there's the moon, and there's stars up in the dome of the sky. It was like this, and there's water above, and there's water below, and then God gathered some land here, and then up in the dome of the sky are the stars and the sun and the moon. Okay, that's the way it's described in the Bible. Next thing we're going to learn, we're going to pretend that this is the sun. Does that look like the sun?
No.
No, not at all. Okay. So we're going to pretend that this is it's so hot, I can't hold it. It's what color is the sun?
Yellow.
Yellow and orange and red. It's all those colors, isn't it? And it's really, really hot. Okay, we're going to pretend that this is the sun. All right. And those of you big kids who have had enough science class, well, everybody knows. What is this? The Earth or globe. Yes. Yes, it's a globe. It represents the whole Earth, doesn't it? Okay, some of you big kids know, how does the sun relate to the Earth? How do they interact?
I don't know.
Good answer, Hyatt. Yes, Daniel. The sun gives light and heat to the Earth, right? How do they relate? Is the sun in a dome up above the Earth?
No.
Does it sit up there? How do they work together? The Earth goes far away from the sun, right? Yeah, I got that part. Okay. Do they rotate together? Give me a hint here, fellas. I bet you know. Goes a long way, doesn't it, Hyatt? Yes, it does. It does. Katie, you remember? Okay. Does a giant juggler stand up here and do this? Okay. Tell me how they go together. I bet somebody knows. Come on. Drew, you know this.
I don't remember.
You don't remember. Okay, Alex?
It spins around the sun.
Very good. Alex has the answer. The Earth. You want to come up and do it for me, Alex? Can you do this? Okay, show me how it goes. It goes around the sun and around and around and around, doesn't it? Yes, very good, very good, very good, thanks. Okay, you want to sit down for me? Good. Okay,
So that's what we learn in science class when you're real little, apparently, or if your mommy's a really good teacher. Does this look like that?
No.
It doesn't, does it? And for some people that seems confusing because it seems like the Bible should be just like the way we really know it works. Except what the Bible, this is a Bible, what the Bible was teaching us is that a lot of the people back there thought that there were lots of gods.
But there's only one God.
Very good, Hyatt. There's only one God. Very good. You're doing this next week, child. The story told us that only one God made the earth and the sun and the moon and all of us. And if we keep reading in the Bible, we find out that God makes things very reliable.
And He can get storms away.
He can move storms away? Yes, yes. What, Will? Did you want to say something? No? Okay. You like raising your hand today, don't you? He was raising his hand for a long time in the back. The Bible tells us we can trust God, and God always loves us. And this story told us that only one God made everything. Whereas in science class, we learn that the earth goes around the sun. We learn that the earth rotates. So that's how we get daylight, day and night, right? Some of you remember that now? You've heard it? Yeah, you have. You've heard it too? Yes, yes. Hyatt knows. Okay. So that's what we learn in science class. We learn how it works. And in the Bible, we learn who did it. So we can trust the Bible because the Bible told us who made us and who loves us. And science class tells us how it all works and how we can understand it. Because if we understand this and all the other basics of science, then maybe we can cure things. We can cure terrible diseases and help people.
I can do things that at the science center that I didn't do before.
Hyatt can do things at the science center. Yes, yes, a lot of us can, can't we? We can learn a lot from science. Okay. All right, so the point is, the Bible teaches us who, science teaches us how it works together, and you know what? Together we keep asking why. Why did God make us? And we keep talking about that, and we read the Bible to help us understand. Why did God make us? What does God want us to do? Together we ask those questions.
I used to have my Bible with pictures. I can't read what they say.
Okay. But the pictures help, don't they?
Yeah, yep. But I can't find it anymore.
He uses his Bible, and it has pictures in it, but he can't find it anymore. So. Okay, thank you, Hyatt. All right, come on up, folks. Let's say a prayer together here. We thank you, God, for making us. We thank you for making a very good world for everyone. We ask you to help us understand all of your ways and all that we need to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very good. Thank you. There's a unison confession in our bulletin, if you would join me. It comes from Isaiah 24, verses 5 and 6. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth dwindled, and few people are left. Where shall wisdom be found? In the journeying mind that can stir us to seek and allow us to find, and will study to know the intelligent word that will free us to grow. Wisdom is bread made in community, kneaded, baked, and shared. Wisdom is water hidden in the rock. Let the well go deep. Let the spring run clear
and the river flow on. Let us pray. O God of mesa and sunrise, God of earth and distant stars, we seek to honor you. Guide us as we explore your creation. May we always worship the Creator. Gift us with wonder, perspective, insight, and respect. May we look upon every marvel, every child, with your adoring eyes. May we celebrate your reliable laws of nature and use our understanding to benefit all. We thank you for the blessings of everyday healing. We look around at the miracles among our family and friends and give thanks for long lives. Thank you for daily blessings, such as clean water. Help us provide for our children the ability to think and the urge to love. May we learn reason, empathy, forgiveness, and peace. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. From Genesis 2, verses 4 to 15. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. Here ends the reading from the second chapter of Genesis. My message this morning is called Mud Puppy. A doctor, an architect, and a computer scientist were arguing about whose profession was the oldest. In the course of their arguments, they got all the way back to the Garden of Eden, whereupon the doctor said, "The medical profession is clearly the oldest because Eve was made from Adam's rib, as the story goes, and that was simply an incredible surgical feat." The architect did not agree. He said, "But if you look at the garden itself, in the beginning there was chaos and void, and out of that the garden and the world were created. So God must have been an architect." The computer scientist, who had listened to all this, said, "Yes, but where do you think the chaos came from?" Across the country, ministers, rabbi, and other clergy are speaking on evolution this weekend. Why is this a topic in church? Because of those who think it is not. Because of those who think we must choose.
Most of you know you can understand accurately, that you can think logically, scientifically, and believe in the God who made you. You are not alone. We can talk about the God who gave us brains. We can talk about the reasoning that allowed our ancestors to build great cathedrals, that allowed our ancestors to vaccinate and pasteurize. The former United Church of Christ General Minister, Reverend John Thomas, said, "Many today are hungering for an authentic spirituality that is intellectually honest and at home in a scientific era." Do you know the Maxine cartoons? Maxine is a crabby, gray-haired woman in baggy sweaters and bifocals who makes us laugh with her cynical commentary. One February cartoon shows us Maxine and her dog eating chocolates out of a heart-shaped box. Maxine says something about men being from Mars. She wants to get her hands on the bozo who gave them spaceships. If my family animal expert were to look at that cartoon, she would complain that dogs should never eat chocolate. That is bad for their health. It could kill them. We chuckle. The cartoon dog is really not in any danger. The Maxine cartoon is designed to make us laugh, not to teach us about canine physiology or anything in the space program. Today, we read the second creation story of Genesis, and we search for meaning. Verses 10 to 14 tell of the great river that flows from Eden and divides into four rivers. Only two of the river names are known today. The Tigris and Euphrates originate in the mountains of Armenia, which would put Eden to the north rather than in the east. Perhaps the original version called for the rivers to flow into instead of out of Eden. Depends which way rivers can really flow, or Eden may have been near the Persian Gulf, and that reference to the land of Cush cannot refer to Ethiopia, what was called the land of Cush thousands of years ago. No matter the specifics, the geography is mistaken. That need not disturb us. The Bible is a source of theology, understanding about God, not geography. Do you enjoy puns and word plays? In the Hebrew, the ground or dust is Adama. The man is called Adam or Adam, similar to Dirk being made out of dirt. Man, or Adam, is made of Adama, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We come from dust, the earth itself. We are made of mud, mud puppies we are. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Is the mud the crucial element? Is it mud that brought us to life? The breath of life brought us to life. When God breathed life into us, we became living beings. We became human children of the divine. In this passage, our Creator formed us from the earth and gave us work, tilling and caring for the garden. Adam worked Adama. That is what Genesis 2 teaches us. God gave us life and gave us work. We are doubly blessed. Einstein said we can look at the world as if nothing is a miracle, or we can look at the world as if everything is a miracle. To be able to see God in the world, we must have faith. God is not subject to proof. We must trust that God is active in the world. We can teach our children by showing how much we trust our Maker. Martin Luther said that trusting God comes from an earnest desire to be obedient. Obedience in actions such as prayer opens our eyes to God's blessings, God's miracles, God's reliable precision. Or we can live with science blinders. We can dwell in reason alone. We can pretend that measurement with our five senses can define the entire world. That way we can put God in a small box way over there somewhere where our Creator's presence, love, and persistent demands will not pester us quite so much. Or we can live with faith blinders. We can pretend that science does not exist. All that our God-given senses and intellect have discovered and mastered is imaginary. But living without God, or living without learning, would be a waste. Moreover, they need each other. Reason and ethics, mind and soul. Faith and intellect belong to each of us, gifts of our God. According to Reverend Thomas, we are insatiably curious, and our profound curiosity fuels equally the venture of science and the quest of faith. Our children were in the Mount Vernon City schools when a middle school science teacher campaigned to teach intelligent design in the public schools. The groups promoting it were trying hard to state that their motives were intellectual inquiry and scientific method, questioning evolution. Right. Scientists question the mechanisms and possibilities of evolution every day. None question the fact of evolution, just its many permutations, how evolution has worked and how it might work. One speaker in Mount Vernon's battle asked the proponents why they needed scientific proof of their faith. Is that faith? In Matthew 4, Jesus said, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." The change in policy failed. However, the teacher continued to teach his beliefs as science, that dinosaurs walked alongside humans and that the earth was only as old as the Hebrew people. I had our son Clay move to another science teacher. At Oberlin College, he needed to understand the evolution of galaxies, bacteria, and humans. In middle school science, he needed clear thinking, not shaky faith. It does seem faith is shaky if trust in God cannot survive our God-given reason, cannot withstand learning and fact. Faith and science both are gifts of God. Scientific thinking is even fun. Did you hear about the biologist who had twins? She baptized one and kept the other as a control. Evolution, that creation developed and changed over time, evolution is fact. Evidence is everywhere. Our God, I am the Yahweh of Abraham and Jacob, was more patient than we can imagine, spending billions of years shaping geology, bacteria, plants, animals, and us. God is still every day that patient with us. How blessed we are. There was a show on TV called the Sarah Connor Chronicles. It was a science fiction series running with the story from Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator movies. In the show, one of the metallic robots from the future kidnapped a scientist and drew a formula on the man's blackboard. The scientist's eyes lit up. Eureka! This is a formula to grow human flesh. The sinister robot, of course, got him to cook up a batch. Thus, the metal robot could smear it all over and look perfectly human. In a 2008 issue of Science News, you can read about modern biologists trying to create life from non-living particles. One group is working to replicate viable DNA with the building blocks found in simple organisms. They compare it to figuring out how a luxury car works by assembling a dune buggy. Another group is trying to create an entire living cell. Still others seek to recreate the conditions of the origins of life on Earth by making a cell from primitive molecules that probably played a role the first time around. They are marvelous, creative, ingenious projects. No matter how elegant the mud, though, it's still mud. When Louise Brown, the first test tube baby, was conceived in a glass dish, magazines asked if God had become irrelevant. No, our biology is merely mud. Many couples today have been helped to become parents through miracles in science, miracles of mud. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. We mud puppies need the mud and the miracles. We are created in the image of God Almighty with the twin capacities of faith and reason. Even if our scientists one day cook up a soup that comes to life, our souls, who we are, who we can become as children of God, would not originate in a test tube. Our curiosity, our abilities to choose, to love, and to trust, those are breathed into us by the God Jesus revealed in the stories in our sacred text. God gave us life and gave us work. Part of that work is obedience. Luther said our trust comes from obedience. You know, God does not obey us. God is not constrained within our small human imaginations, our short human history, or our nearsighted human writings. It is not our place to tell God what is not possible. In Matthew 4, Jesus said, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" We do not tell God how to create or how to teach. God will do what God will do. We follow God's call. We may not impose our rules, our limits on God's creative work or upon God's love and mercy. Thousands of years ago, God's Hebrew people began to write. They wrote down the stories told for thousands of years before their tribes were born from Mesopotamia. They used ancient stories to teach their children and our children. The stories of Adam and Eve, Noah and the Ark, farmers and shepherds, mothers and children teach us about the God who loves us. Did they write a geography book? No. Did they write a scientific textbook? No. They wrote a book of love. God showed them steadfast love. God called them to obedience and justice. Love God, love neighbor. Then God showed them mercy and forgiveness over and over. They wrote it down the best they could. Our sovereign maker even came to walk among us to show how obedience is done, how we might live faith, forgiveness, mercy, justice, and especially love. Scripture was written to teach us about God, not geography, not history, not astronomy, not medicine, and not biology. Reverend Thomas said many today are hungering for an authentic spirituality that is intellectually honest and at home in a scientific era. Being able to discuss faith and science is important for the future of our church, our children, and our world. How else will we speak to the unchurched? How else will we speak to the young and educated? How else will we speak to the ethical dilemmas of energy, climate, medicine, and encroaching technologies?
How else will we bring prophetic justice for the poor to economics, housing, pollution, and health care? Faithfully, we will bring our hearts and minds to the table, every table. Amen. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to God.
Let us give thanks to God Most High.
It is right to give God thanks for everything.
Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the many generations you have fed us, that you have taught us, that you have taught us in bread and wine, that you have helped us to understand your great love for us. We remember long ago when you were here on earth as Jesus Christ, and you showed us in bread, in wine, how much you loved us. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit upon this bread, upon this juice, and make it truly the body of Christ for us, that we may be the body of Christ in the world for you. Amen. Jesus had a last meal with these people who had become his friends. They had followed him through the challenges, through the dust, through the hunger, through the joys. They got to hear him over and over and over teaching. And if you read the scriptures, you keep feeling like they still didn't get it. I really think they didn't get it so that we could hear it over and over and over again. And we did. We got to hear it over and over. Before he died, he understood that he had one last chance before he died to use what teachers call a manipulative, something real, something tangible that they would handle every day to help them understand and help them remember. They were at a table having a dinner. He took the bread. He blessed it. And then he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Every time you eat, remember me. Every time you eat, remember me." And they shared a cup. And after the supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This wine is a new covenant, a new promise between people and God. And every time you drink, remember that promise. Remember me. And remember God's love for all humanity." And every time we recreate this, we can remember Christ's gifts for us. We are having communion by intinction. If you cannot or do not wish to come forward, an usher will bring you communion. Just let us know. Ushers will direct you out of your pews to come up in single file and take a mouthful of bread, tear it off with one hand, dip a corner in the juice, and eat it immediately. Come, for all things are ready.
Bread of heaven for you, Tommy.